Welcome to Manowaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm C.B. DeRogi. This week, No Words to Describe the Sky by Alod Haber. The night before the scholars met to codify the Tetragrammaton, the name of our Lord, blessed be he, the sky burned as if from the fire of a million suns. The great assembly had gathered in a local inn between two small quiet towns that were anything but on the day after the burning sky. Dozens had gathered and shouted at the procession of scribes, sages, and prophets that walked down the long winding road to the inn. Some threw vegetables. Rabbi Elazar, blind since birth, grasped the shoulders of his two aides as they walked through the commotion. The aides kept up a constant whisper, warning the aging rabbi of any dangers in his path. The previous night, they had no words to describe the sky. Finally, the rabbi made it inside. The air stank of sweat and meat. The room was warmed by a crackling fire, but it was not the quiet, meditative space he had expected. Instead, it was as loud as a riot. Someone kept shouting, "Tzadik! Tzadik!" as a way to quiet down the hysteria. Over 100 men filled the space, each of them shouting over the others. Elazar felt a presence by his side before the other man spoke. He knew the man by his scent, nuts and smoke. His name was Rabbi Abak, a childhood friend, known for his persuasive arguments and loud, booming voice. Today, however, he spoke at a whisper. "They're frightened," he said to Elazar as an introduction. "The rabble outside?" asked the blind man. "Them, yes, but in here as well. They fear what they do not understand," said Elazar, speaking so quietly it was mostly to himself. Then, louder, "I would speak to them." There was a pause, where undoubtedly Abak was exchanging glances with the aides. Then, with a sigh, Abak said, "Very well," and pushed past Elazar to address the room. "Tzadiks!" shouted Abak in his deep, thunderous voice. The room quieted. "Our trusted colleague and elder, Rab Elazar, has words." Elazar shed his aids and straightened his back, so when he spoke, he projected into the back of the room. "Friends, colleagues, we cannot falter or fear. Didn't God himself visit Moses in the form of a burning bush? Fire burns, but also warms. The people need our guidance now more than ever. They're frightened. That's why we are here." A murmur followed Elazar's words, but there was no more shouting. Smiling, the rabbi motioned for his aides to help him find a seat so they could get to work. The sky burned again that night, and the night after that. The protesters continued to come, swelling to hundreds of people, camped on the side of the road beside the inn, shouting and crying. They saved their vegetables and started throwing rocks. Rabbi Abak was hit by one the morning of the third day and died later that afternoon. A sullen silence fell over the great assembly, its numbers down to half of what it was on the first day. Many had fled back to their cities and towns, citing the increasing danger and the mystery of the burning sky. But Rabbi Elazar was not going anywhere. They were close. The assembled sages pored over the holy texts and played the part of detectives, looking for clues within God's words to highlight and illuminate. "Faith," began Elazar, the natural orator in him pausing for emphasis, "needs structure, just like everything else. Names and customs are the best way to achieve that goal."
"But," someone interjected, "God's name will be sacrosanct, forbidden to say. Will it still be useful to the people?"
"I believe so," he said, "but they will need more than just a name."
He thought of his aides, two of them, who assisted him with every part of his day.
They will need guidance in all things related to the holy words. A companion text, perhaps.
The others were silent, which Eleazar knew was a good sign. He heard some shuffling of chairs and shoes, and felt the presence of the whole assemblage now, their rapt attention on his words. The ideas were fresh in his mind, warm and fragrant, like just risen bread. His stomach rumbled at the thought, but he kept on talking. Eleazar prayed and wrote and ate the meals that were brought to him, and tried not to think of his dear friend. The few remaining members of the assembly stayed within the walls of the inn at all times now. Food was smuggled in through underground tunnels. Outside, the scene was biblical. Hundreds of people, spooked by the sky, gathered in groups. Some in prayer, prostrate on the ground, others in religious ecstasy, screaming and dancing. Someone tried to break the heavy wooden doors of the inn. As the sky darkened on the fifth night, five protesters climbed onto a little hill beside the inn and set themselves on fire. The screams of the dying filtered into the hearth room where the scholars worked. Eleazar could feel the eyes of the assembly on him. Somehow he had become the de facto leader. His aides conversed in hushed tones, the holy book open in front of them. Chairs scraped against the floor as the aides moved aside and others sat around him. He recognized their various smells. Everyone was in dire need of a bath.
"It's time," said one of the rabbis.
Another one finished his sentence.
"Time to end this. Go home."
"We're not done," said Eleazar.
"But we are," replied the first man. "The Tetragrammaton, it's complete."
"We need to be sure."
"People are dying," said a new voice.
Eleazar felt warmth rising in his chest.
"You don't think I know that?" he scoffed. "As if violence and death was a stranger to our people. No, we stay."
The voices joined together in protest.
"We stay,"
Eleazar said again. On the evening of the sixth day, it rained. It rained all night and into the next day. The rain poured down the fields beside the inn like a waterfall. It washed away the makeshift tents of the protesters. It flooded the winding road. The assembled masses, waterlogged and sniffing, trudged back home, crestfallen. Inside the inn, the roof sang a percussive song. The windows shuttered with every angry gust of wind. Every once in a while, a raised voice from one of the scholars, tension as a vibe. Someone whispered the word, "Plagues," and that's when Eleazar knew it was time. He rose, his body popping and creaking with the effort. When he spoke, his voice was just higher than a whisper.
"We've done it," he said. "We've named our Lord. Now we must propagate that knowledge. Go home, Tzaziks. Go home and spread the word."
The sages and scholars quickly gathered their books and notes and prayer shawls. In less than an hour, everyone was gone save Eleazar and his aides. It took them longer to gather their things. They led the old man out of the inn. He smelled fresh air for the first time in days, and it was as sweet as the freshest honey. It was no longer raining, but he could hear the pitter-patter of droplets falling from trees and plants. Once outside, his aides audibly gasped.
"What is it?"
Eleazar inquired.
"The sky," said one with reverence. "It's beautiful."
"Would you like us to describe it to you, Rab?"
Eleazar took a long breath. He felt God's radiance around him like heat.
"Please do,"
he said, and began the long walk back home. This has been No Words to Describe the Sky, written by Alaud Haber. Manawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast is supported by patrons on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/manawaker to find out more. You can also support Manawaker Studio by purchasing some of our books or games. Visit Manawaker's new web store at payhip.com/manawaker. The Flash Fiction Podcast theme song is by Kevin MacLeod. The podcast is produced, edited, and narrated by me, C.B. DeRogi. Thanks for listening.